Previously on The Scope.
So I'm actually thinking of building a giant slingshot that I can just vault myself into Shane's yard.
That's all you would need.
Yeah. And if you would make a companion piece, then I could get home. Otherwise, I gotta walk.
I actually can picture that, and I think it just might work. We have a Scope rating system, and I'm going to read it 10 times better than Al did in the last show.
Do it, Shane. Go!
Apparently, there was some fascination with Lonnie Anderson that I didn't get because I was about 4.
Lonnie Anderson.
Oh, really?
Did you?
I did. Yep. At
the Knockout?
At the old Log Theater.
Did you work with her on 4?
That's what she said.
Barbarella is back in action. They're reviving the character.
Wasn't she voted off of American Idol?
And do you like gladiator movies?
Hey. And overall, I feel like they had some really solid moments of pop perfection.
Yeah. Orville Redenbacher had some moments of pop perfection, too.
Geez. Turn that mic off.
Hey, this is Kid Douglas. Andy, this is George Lopez. Hello, this is Michael Bay.
Why don't we just quit the show and let Earl do...
I know, it's become like the Earl show.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
After July 4th, it won't matter.
Yeah, okay, we'll just...
we'll put him on moratorium like a Disney movie.
Yeah.
This is Brad Pitt, one of the sexiest babysitters alive. Hello, Scope Faithfuls. I'm Jack Nicholson.
I'm glad to see you guys have opened up your minds and allowed drugs into yours. Excellent choice.
Hey, everybody, this is Wolfgang Puck.
Hold for edit? Yeah, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that doesn't mind if the sheets are fresh. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope surveys a scintillating summer of sequels, Desperate Housewives is tolerated, and Rosie O'Donnell joins the crew after Adam's contract is not renewed.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Everybody, this is Scope episode 28. I personally want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on this journey across the podcasting landscape. I am Shane, one of three people here to bring the show to you. Sitting to my left is that second special person, it's Adam.
Hey.
Haven't seen you in a long time, Adam.
It'd be 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's a long time for me.
All right.
And I haven't seen Jared since earlier this afternoon.
Exactly.
At the football draft party.
Known as ending up in your basement.
That's exactly it.
Quite the party you had there.
We're recording this on...
How did you find a clown on such short notice?
It's funny that when you were 14, you always wanted to bring people down to your basement. But now it happens and it's just Jared. No?
I think that's kind of the story of my life. Yeah, as I mentioned, we were paying attention to the first day of the NFL draft. When you hear the show, the draft will be over and all of your teams that you're cheering for or not cheering for will have... pick their new players, and it's a very exciting time. Adam, you were a big Washington Redskins fan.
Mm-hmm.
Day one, your take on the first pick.
The Redskins famously traded away almost all their draft picks, so they had one in the first day, and it was just the first rounder. I don't think they have another pick till the fifth, so they kind of blow their whole wad very early. They picked... guy's name I'm forgetting now.
LaRon Landry.
Yeah, I was going to say LeBron Landry, but that didn't sound right.
No.
Who's a safety out of LSU? LSU, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of those southern schools.
He is essentially just Sean Taylor, who the Redskins already have. Again, like he can't really cover. He can tackle really well. So apparently we have two of those now. So.
Well, fantastic.
I don't know.
It's a good start.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Jared, Vikings drafted a running back.
Adrian Peterson.
Impact.
Considered the number one running back in the draft. Some consider him the second best athlete in the draft. So there you go.
And a question to both of you. Does the draft really matter?
I mean, yes.
Matter in terms of what?
In terms of impact players immediately? I mean, overall, or is it a little overhyped?
Well, was Vince Young drafted?
Yes.
Okay.
Last year.
Would you call him an impact player last year?
Yes.
Okay.
So. It can matter. I think its importance is even more now that the salary cap has gone up and teams are able to keep more of their key players. So, I mean, you just look at the Vikings. They weren't able to get anyone significant in free agency. So you kind of have to use the draft to build up your roster.
Absolutely.
Take a chance on some people.
And some Vikings faithful disappointed that they did not pick up the quarterback from Notre Dame.
That's just because they don't like black people here.
Yeah. I was telling Jared.
Is that appropriate? I'm not even sure.
I think so.
Giving the rim shot for racism.
We've talked about this. We've always thought that Dante Culpepper got something of a shaft because he's black.
Absolutely.
And everyone loves Brad Johnson. It's like, I mean, that was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that Dante Culpepper probably received so much flack just because of his skin color. And I think it's closet racism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now he's not the greatest quarterback in the world just because he was hurt and really hasn't recovered from that. But
no.
I think in his prime time here, people completely underestimated him and overlooked all of the greatness that he brought to the Minnesota Vikings. And as for Brady Quinn,
he did sound like an idiot every time he spoke.
He did, yeah.
And he had small hands.
His detriment.
we'll get off of the football topic quickly because we don't want to alienate all of our fans. But the reality is, with Brady Quinn, Vikings could have drafted him, but much like Tavares Jackson, he is unproven, and I don't think that you can pin your hopes on a quarterback of his expertise when we have one of those quarterbacks already that the Vikings front office feel is going to be the quarterback of the future.
Who's going to be their starter this year?
Jackson will be the starter. Even though they're not saying it, he will be the starter.
Who's their backup? Do they have a veteran?
Brooks Bollinger.
Drew Henson's in there, too, but... Yeah,
I mean, it's not looking good, but I think they're going to have to commit to going with the young guy, hoping that he can run the offense reasonably well and, you know, have a strong running game that's going to keep him out of trouble because they don't have anybody to throw to.
Well, that's not true. They drafted another receiver.
Well, they do.
As I predicted, they drafted after making me wait by trading down three spots, they drafted a receiver in the second round. Sidney Rice.
Yeah. I've always had the opinion that they need veteran leadership in the receiving core, and they don't have that, so I'm a little concerned about that.
Well, I can argue the point with you, but they did pick up some veterans, kind of some no-name veterans.
Yes, yes.
So they're not all rookies. And
so maybe some of these pickups will step up and bring the Vikings to maybe a 7-9 or 8-8 glory.
Yeah. You never know.
It was interesting, Adam. Today, Jared and I did the manliest thing possible, which, you know,
yes.
we got up early. We were at 10:30. We're down at the local sports bar before anybody else. Carrie came with. And we're sitting around there like total sports fanatics. Never done that
before. You guys have your foam fingers?
No foam fingers. But, I mean, it was very strange because we were some of the first people to arrive. And I think we outlasted just about every single Rube that was there. I mean, everyone left probably after the Packers pick, which was probably about 3 hours in.
One of my favorite moments happened with the Packers pick when they announced the pick, and I can't tell you who it was, but they flashed to the Packers headquarters where, of course, they're having their big draft extravaganza, all the fans around, and they're booing and giving the thumbs down to it. The crowd erupted here at home. They were happy that Packers fans were not. That's how it goes.
It was a good moment. Well, you know,
people are retarded.
They really. And speaking of retarded, you know, we had football draft, which was a big thing going on right now. But earlier in the week, American Idol gave back, and I know you've heard about it, Adam. I know you didn't watch it, but Jared watched a little bit with it. And this is going to be my opportunity to rant about something that just bothered the heck out of me. And I think we can talk about the issue of manipulation of the mass culture through television. And I think that American Idol really was just a terrible, terrible breaker of the trust between programming and viewer.
Goodness.
Yeah, you seem shocked, Adam.
So I'm watching this, and, you know, the wife's a big American Idol fan, which I like it too, but this, you know, all these special episodes that they do, I could take it or leave it, but we watch it for the performances and
can
stuff
I leave
like
it
that.
Or leave it? Is that one of the options?
You can leave it or leave it, but you know, they structured this like a Jerry Lewis telethon, you know, they'll have some musical acts, they'll do some talking, and then they'll cut to real-life scenes of the American Idol judges or Ryan Seacrest out and about, you know, checking out neighborhoods of poor people.
For the 90 minutes they were actually in Africa?
Exactly. Or they'll fly into Africa, you know, talk to some of the families. They're just terrible stories. I mean, everyone in Africa is affected by AIDS. You know, terrible, terrible death rate. It's just sickeningly sad. And you see the judges there, and I think actually it was Simon and Ryan that were there.
Yeah.
And
Paula would never sully herself with the dirt.
And they have these canned voiceovers, you know, that are just, it's clearly been scripted, you know, for maximum manipulation. And I have no doubt that both Ryan and Simon saw things that were terrible and they were genuinely affected by it. But keep in mind, these are guys that are making, you know, $20 million a year. Simon's making $25 million a year on American Idol.
That's not even Teletubby profits right there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's that's straight up American Idol profits. And you wonder just what he's going to do. Maybe he's going to do a lot after seeing that. I don't know. But it's just, you know, I didn't.
It wasn't genuine.
It really wasn't genuine. And you know, I was okay with the fact that they're having this manipulation to get the public to do a good thing by donating money. Until we get to the Ford Motor Company's video. You know, they have a video every week for the show where they put all the American Idol contestants into weird songs and they have them sing. It's pretty much just a paid commercial for a minute.
Yeah, actually, it's terrible.
And I'm not sure if this is a Ford Motor Company video. I take it back. But I know it was some sort of video that was on iTunes and it probably was sponsored by somebody. But it was Carrie Underwood. They sent her to Africa. And they had her sing "I'll Stand By You," the Pretenders hit, you know, the very emotional. And she's with her band, and there's all these poor African children sitting around her while she's singing this song. Highly produced, very slick. You know, it cuts back and forth between showing these terrible scenes and her probably lip-syncing the song. Who the hell knows? And,
oh,
you know, her,
no doubt.
And her acoustic guitar guy strumming along. And I'm just watching this thinking, I can't believe this. I mean, in horror watching it.
No doubt you could go buy the song at some point.
So you can go to iTunes, download the video.
Do the proceeds go to a charity?
All proceeds go to the charity.
At least they did that right.
But Adam, here's the kicker, the thing that literally just set me off. They have, you know, it's almost like they're trying to tell a story during the video. So they have her singing and then they'll have her doing artwork or projects with the kids or out, you know, playing soccer in the field. And they have one where she's holding this small little boy. Keep in mind, it looks like it's shot on film. So, I mean, there's nothing, like, random about this. And then in front of her, it's probably a five-year-old boy with a bouquet of flowers. They walk into a graveyard. And he's laying flowers down while she is holding the young boy standing behind him. And he's laying flowers down on a tombstone, which, you know what, it may not even be his parents for all we know. It could be a completely set up situation.
It's all green screen.
But for the fact that, you know, these boys are here and the white blonde goddess is there to help soothe their pain just seems so disingenuous and sickening. It just,
yeah,
it really left me with a bad taste in my mouth. And I wonder what you guys think of this stuff. I mean, is doing something like this, which is clearly manipulative, but, you know, probably getting great results. I think they got $60 million total to give to charities for homeless and you know, just a number of charities. I think there was four or five of them. Is it worth doing that type of manipulation? Or is there something they can do that's better than that? And, you know, they do the same thing on Extreme Home Makeover, too, where they're trying to get you to cry.
Yep.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's more than likely it's a family that really deserves, you know, an upgrade in their life. So I kind of want to get your guys' opinion.
I mean, I don't know. It's disingenuous, sure, but I don't know. I guess I have mixed feelings on it. I mean, who's not disingenuous?
Yeah.
You're, you know, completely immune from that either. I mean, we're all dicks in some level, so it's like, I don't know, $60 million, is there really a downside to it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do the ends justify the means? I mean, you're kind of exploiting these African children for your purposes, but the purposes are for them to get food and clothing and education and maybe a trash bin. I don't know. It's
Jared, I'm listening.
I don't think that in the end, I guess it's fine. I'm sure they don't really care. I don't think Carrie Underwood gives a shit about kids in Africa.
Yeah. You know? At the end of the day, she's going back to
American Idol producers really care. It's good PR,
yeah.
But it's like, I don't really see the negative on it, so I can't really be angry or, you know, whatever about it.
It's perturbed me.
Yeah.
Cause I am a,
I didn't watch it though. I mean, I could have, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you saw, like, racist undertone, not specifically racist, but I guess, you know, like, maybe racist.
I mean, it just seemed a little strange to me that, you know, they
should have gotten Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, not even that. It just seemed very strange to me. That was like
the image, like, of showing that only white people can go and help these poor black kids in Africa.
Yeah,
like,
and
there's no possible way they could help themselves or any other person could help them.
And these
I can't wait to edit that. So yeah. It sounds like that's the point you're making.
And these kids are sitting around, you know, watching this American country star whom they have no idea who it is and probably couldn't care less, you know. And, you know,
she's the word,
and
whom.
Thank you. And she is the one that's going to save the day. Or at least that's how it was sort of portrayed on there. And she's going to save the day by covering a Pretender song. With the country twang.
That's an additional part of that.
Yeah, that's what's really insulting. Brass in pocket,
No one that watches the show knows the song, so it's like, that's kind of a weird choice, but whatever.
Jared, I challenge you to get any sort of funny clips out of this for the intro of the show.
I don't know that I can.
It's going to be be the all serious so, previous.
I might have to take Adam's tip there.
I'm going to tangent off of your Africa HIV and mention that Tommy Morrison, or Tommy Gunn of Rocky V fame, has been granted his boxing license in Texas to fight again.
Really?
Because right. You'll remember he had to retire when he found out he was HIV positive. Now has tested HIV negative. It's possible that he's just taking medication, and because you can, I guess, take HIV meds.
That will mask it?
Well, not mask it, but like the levels are so low that it shows you as negative. But he's claiming that he's always been negative.
I was going to say, if he had it and then got rid of it, then they need to somehow just like siphon off all of his blood and find a freaking cure.
Like, how shitty would that be, though, if you're told, I think it was in like, whatever, 93 or something, that he was told he was positive. Like, and then now you find out that you weren't?
Yeah, he adamantly believes that it was faulty test. Faulty results, faulty process.
Because I mean,
yeah. And how many? But how did that change your life and everything? Oh, yeah. Every
exactly.
choice you make.
Tommy
after that.
Gunn. That was the height of his career.
Tommy
he could have gotten
Gunn.
So much pussy. Yeah. And now none.
And I just want to send a special thank you to all the Scope listeners that backed our
cause
to get Tommy Gunn back into boxing. So thank you for all of your emails and support, and to the Boxing Commission of Texas. Thank you very much, Jared.
Yes.
Scope poll.
You want the Scope poll?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Get ready to vote for your favorite. It's time for the Scope Poll.
Okay, as you know, we're doing a Scope Poll every episode, trying to get people involved. The results of the first poll we did back in episode 27. Which Scope host do you prefer? The answers were Jared, Adam, and Shane, your original Scope crew, or John, Earl, and Al, your April Fool's special B-Team crew. And all the votes are in, and let's read the results. With 100% of the votes.
Wow.
You'll never guess who the winner is.
I guess Adam, Al, and John will be here next show.
What? Incorrect.
Adam?
Oh, did I say Adam? Earl? Yes. Well, they didn't like Earl. They really like you, Adam.
Your original team of...
I don't blame them.
Jared, Adam, and Shane has won with 100% of the votes. But I have to say that our voter turnout was not as great as I would hope. So,
percentage-wise, it was about that of the United States election year, or presidential election turnout. So it wasn't that bad.
Probably. So we're going to keep the poll going here. And
we're not stopping, listeners.
No. We're
going to
keep pushing
forward
every episode. Until snipers take us out. This week's poll, which classic 1980s toy line is best? This is toy line, not cartoons, not comics, not movies, or anything spawned from them, but purely the toy line. Your choices are the Transformers or G.I. Joe.
So which cartoon?
No, the toy line, action figures, play sets,
I'm
going to
vote Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just to annoy everyone.
I'm doing
that
Voltron.
Would be the Earl answer.
Yep.
And as always, you can vote by sending your emails to comments@thescopeshow.com or by calling our voicemail line at 206-350-7056. Only email and phone votes will be counted.
I have a question. What if you're too poor to afford Transformers and you had to buy GoBots?
Well, then I you might have to vote for Transformers out of envy.
Or American Hero, which I believe were the fake G.I. Joes.
Yeah, sold at like Walgreens and stuff.
Jared, peek your head around the corner and look at Adam a little bit. Doesn't the top of his head look a little bit like Simon Cowell's hair today?
I don't have to peek. I can see him from here.
He's got a little bit of Simon cut.
I don't have anything in it.
I like it, though.
It does.
Like
it does a little bit of a Cowell-esque hair.
Oi. Pip. There's my British accent for the day.
It sounds like you were choking on something.
Off you go.
That's how I'm a method actor. So
very nice. You know, speaking of upgrades to Scope, the Scope 2.0 with our poll, Jared, I also want to mention that I appreciated all the feedback, all three or four comments for our online exclusive review of Grindhouse.
Oh, yes.
I'm not going to get into it too much just because we're running out of time here. But, you know, we're going to try to do these reviews on a regular basis. Right, guys?
We're trying.
Especially you, Adam. I'm looking at you because...
You're not. Oh, you weren't.
Now I'm looking at you.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's going to be a regular feature, and we will try to cover things that we do not cover on the program. I know we see movies.
Which is hard because we're so exhaustive.
I know. We do a lot of stuff here. But, thanks for your comments, and as the reviews pop up, feel free to comment on them, and we will possibly talk about it on the show if it starts getting a little too heated. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Final segment before we move on to our summer preview. Let's do a little bit of Transformers work.
He loves the Transformers, and he won't stand for anyone messing with those iconic characters. Let's find out
another Earl
how
thing?
Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg's cinematic adaptation
the movie.
Of those lovable robots are angering our friend Earl in The Scope's More Than Meets the Eye Movie Madness Moment.
Can we have a countdown to the Earl and Adam Go See Transformers at the midnight premiere?
We should do that.
We'll
count down the days. We can do that, probably.
I don't know if we talked about this too much on the air about that, but did we talk? Was Earl here when he said that he had other plans that week?
Oh, yeah. He does now?
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, seeing the movie, and as everyone, all of our listeners know, Earl promised that he would go see it with you, and we would do...
I believe he said, if I do not, I will then swear that is the best movie ever, if he defaults on this promise.
He secretly wants it to fail.
So
or not so secretly.
So Jared and I brought it up to him a couple of weeks ago, you know, that we're getting excited about this, and he was kind of hemming and hawing on it, saying, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to go. I might have other plans. I don't really want to see it.
I'll go see it for free the night before.
Yeah, that's right. He could go see it for free the night before. So we actually had to tell Earl that we would pay for his ticket so he would go see it with
you. You paying for mine too?
No, we're not paying for yours. We probably should, but...
Maybe we can have Scope listeners send in donations to pay for Earl and Al's tickets.
Right, or Adam.
Everyone send in 10 cents.
Sorry, I'm thinking about the best team ever.
How annoying.
I think that poo-poo on Earl for that one.
He's destroying our perfect storm of content. I don't understand this.
I mean, if there's anything to be excited about the Scope, it's the Transformers showdown with Adam.
We were going to even record while we were waiting in line.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be serious business.
What's the moment?
I think we've got Earl on board. I've got three tidbits of Transformers news.
Excellent.
Number one, Entertainment Weekly in their summer movie preview has a full image of Optimus Prime.
I'm staring at his crotch right now.
Adams or Optimus Prime?
Prime's.
Where would the Adam come from on that?
Because Jane just likes to cause trouble.
The cat's in here, too. He could have been...
Cat crutch. Yeah. Jared, you're looking at the picture. Yeah. This is probably the first real high-res photo we've seen of Optimus Prime in robot form. Your take.
I think he looks kind of cool.
Have you seen the trailer? The full trailer with him running?
No, what?
I don't think he's running it. I think it's different out of it.
No, he's running down the highway.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see it.
This is him standing. You can see the whole thing. Jared thinks it looks cool.
His torso is oddly short, and his legs seem too long, maybe. But, I mean, overall, it looks kind of cool. The head looks like Prime.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's a ton more detail than we've ever seen before, but...
He's not a cartoon. Adam, you've seen it. What do you think?
I think it looks good. I mean,
it looks Optimus Prime-ish, doesn't it?
It looks like a stylized 2007 version of what I would imagine a live-action version of the cartoon would look like. So it fits what I...
If we could just get him in a Burt Reynolds Playgirl pose, we'd be...
Right.
That's for you, Earl.
I'm waiting for them, because I remember distinctly an episode where the Autobots wore cowboy hats, and I'm waiting...
I think they did, yes.
I'm waiting for, like, that shot to come out.
Well, that'll probably be in the sequel.
Okay.
Speaking of the trailer, they did show that commercial during Shia LaBeouf's appearance on Saturday Night Live, and I thought it was pretty cool looking. I saw it, and I said, you know, this would be a movie that might interest me.
Yeah.
You know, Transformers or not,
people
giant
hate
robots.
Bruckheimer and Bay, but I swear The Rock is one of the best action movies I've ever seen.
It is probably
and
right up there.
It's fantastic.
There's, I forget how many, like they said like 11 or 13 like highly intense action scenes. And it's like in a movie that I don't even think is going to hit 2 hours, that's a lot of action.
Yeah, a lot
and
of action.
I think that's what people are expecting. So there you go.
Movie Madness Moment number two. MSNBC contributor Stuart Levine predicts Transformers will do... $235 million, ranking it, I think, number six for
the
summer.
U.S.?
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think that's fairly reasonable. I think
that's,
you know, I think there are too many other movies out there that are going to siphon away the money, but 235 for
it's got two full weeks without any real competition.
And honestly, I think the audience is somewhat limited. It'll bring in a lot of people, but I just think that. I don't know. Maybe this sci-fi... Nah, who am I? I'm talking out of my ass. Never mind.
I don't really consider it sci-fi. I consider it sci-fi as much as like Spider-Man sci-fi.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we don't know what the advertising campaign is going to be. I mean, we're 2 months out. They've been doing Spider-Man for about 3 weeks now. So they could really push this thing. And it could do that.
That's
could
true.
Do better.
If Spider-Man's going to do well, this should do well.
I think you're right. Scope of Transformers Movie Madness number three. New Nintendo DS video game of the Transformers will have two versions, one Autobot-based and the other Decepticon-based. So you'll
Way
have...
to make more money. Like, they couldn't fit both on one.
Exactly. So, you know, they'll have special missions based on the characters that you play and different levels and that sort of thing. Who knows how great it will
DS.
Be.
Oh, DS. Okay, handheld.
Yeah, the handheld system. I think the 360 version along with the PS3, and I don't know if they're doing it on the Wii, will be pretty much one
standard
game.
The DS games are probably out 20 each, though, so...
Yeah, well, actually, they're a little bit more expensive.
29 30, each?
29 to 30.
Okay.
1784.
Yep.
So, but the two of them together probably equal what a 360
exactly
game costs.
And who knows how different they'll actually be.
Right.
That'll be the key.
Right.
So that's it, guys. I hope we have some more information of Transformers on the next show, and I will dig deep if I have to make up stuff. So we just go. We can
fantastic
play just so we can play that sound bit. So I think everyone is wondering what's coming up on the rest of the show.
Wait, first I'd like to point out that I went to a drive-in the other day, mm-hmm, and Tim from work,
yeah,
not Kanak, the other,
yeah,
and Mike Dahl asked me out loud, "What were the good guy robots on Transformers called?" And I nearly flipped out at them.
Wow!
And when I told them
the good guy robots,
right? And when I was
they
like,
will never be on the show.
When I was like Autobots, they're like, "Are you sure?" I thought they were called the what'd they say? Not Ottoman bots. That which would have been
the
funny.
Ottoman bots.
I would love to see like the Ottoman Empire as robots.
Yeah, and the Turkicons.
Yeah,
Turkicons. That was quick. Save that one for previously on.
We're going to call them out now. Is that what we're going to do? Throughout the show, we'll use that moment next time.
So coming up on the show, we've got the Scope summer preview.
We will
cover all of the important upcoming pop culture events so you, the fans, don't have to. Random Review takes us up to Wisteria Lane and the ladies of Desperate Housewives. And once again, we'll go under the Scope.
I swear to God, I'm going to make a little bumper or a little piece of music to put under you as you read your written text, just because you have a way of doing it.
Thank
you. I want to make it special.
I appreciate that. So everybody, thanks for listening. Send all your comments to the scopeshow.com. We're plugging that, and we'll be back right after this.
The Scope is becoming so huge that even the judges from American Idol are talking about it. Let's find out what they think of Shane's Scope performance so far.
You have just summed up Minneapolis, mate. That just sums up the day. Useless at everything. I mean, even the juggling was pathetic.
Thanks, American Idol judges. Now, back to more of The Scope. Partington out. Summer's here, and the time is right for the highly anticipated but never duplicated Scope Summer Preview. We'll fill you in on all the must-sees and must-avoids of this very important season. The Scope Summer Preview.
Thank you, Senior Partington. And lesson learned, juggling does not translate well over the sound waves.
No, not so good.
But, you know, I'll make up for it.
Soundwave was an Autobot or what?
Decepticon.
I think it was a Turkticon.
You would know that, right?
So the summer preview is here.
I want to bring up something, and maybe I have already on the show. But
they wonder why our shows are 3 hours long.
Should the Constructicons have been called the Destructicons because they were bad guys?
That's not a bad idea.
Destructicons. I mean, I get that they were construction things, but like these. Anyway.
You put a lot of thought into it, and that's why you're on the show.
It bugged me for a long time, actually. Thank you.
Very nice. So the Scope summer preview, we'll be looking at three separate pop culture groups, the things that we specialize in, movies, a quick look at television, as well as music. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and let's try to make this a little more of a free forum type of situation where we discuss general trends. And to do that, I've broken out the movies into certain categories. And I'll bring it up, and then we'll talk about it.
All right.
First category for movies, which is... You know, something that's been it's caught the eye of pretty much all of popular media is the fact that we've got a lot of sequels. So I've titled
Indeed.
This Sequelitis. And in the 3.5 months of summer, there's 12 sequels to major movies.
Yikes.
And I think there's five sequels to sequels. So that's a lot of stuff.
There's 15 Fridays, right, in this block.
Yep.
And 12 of them, or there's 12 sequels in them.
Are any doubling up? Go down the list.
I'm not going to give... you know what? Just to make it quick, I'm not going to give dates, but I will give the sequels, and we'll just talk about some of this stuff, and we'll talk
Fair
about
enough.
The trend. And I'll read it fast, because there's a lot of stuff here. Spider-Man 3, mm-hmm. 28 weeks later, the sequel 28
right.
days later. Shrek the Third, okay. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, that would mm-hmm. be Pirates 3. Oceans 13, mm-hmm. Hostel 2, eagerly awaited.
Right.
Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Not Fantastic Four 2, because that would be confusing. Evan Almighty.
Because no one would want to see it.
Exactly.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Evan Almighty, which is kind of a wild card. We'll talk about that one. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Right.
The Bourne Ultimatum. Rush Hour 3. And Live Free or Die Hard. So let me ask the question first. Which of these movies is pointless? Why are they making this movie, Adam?
Evan Almighty, mostly because it's become the most expensive comedy ever made. It broke $250 million sometime last year. And I'm sure they're
to make that,
to make production. A comedy
production only. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's no. like Noah's Ark. And
yeah, the
and
plot
all
is
stuff.
Steve Carell takes over for Jim Carrey as a Noah figure.
Right.
Do you think that's the most pointless, or do you think that with Steve Carell being hot in the office that,
well,
that
I don't know. What are we
happen?
Calling wow. pointless exactly?
Well, I mean, like, why are they making this?
Shrek the Third would be the one for me, but I mean, I think people love that stuff, so that'll mm-hmm. do well. I mean, I think
I'd say Hostel 2, but I haven't seen the first one.
Hostel 2 did pretty big money for what it
cost
to make it.
The necrophiliac market out there is actually yeah. big, so
no doubt.
I don't doubt that. And you know, if he ever stops making quote unquote good movies, you know, he always has a job as a PA for Tarantino. So
my movies that I find to be a little pointless in the sequel group would be Rush Hour 3, because I didn't like any of the Rush Hour movies, and I'm kind of in the the minority there. I find Chris Tucker to be a little annoying. I love Jackie Chan.
Yeah, you're in the minority in finding Chris Tucker annoying. Right.
I actually kind of like them, but a third one is maybe not important.
But the one that stuns me the most out of it would be the Live Free or Die Hard sequel to Die Hard.
Oh, God. The last Die Hard movie was the best Die Hard movie I've ever... I mean, of the three.
Well, I think
those are the three best action of the three. I think the three of them
Adam.
Together are some of the best action movies.
You're not
ever
out
made.
Reading the scope scores.
I'm kind of like with Live Free and Die Hard, it feels like Indy 4 to me. It's like mm-hmm. that era is done. It took them long enough to make the third one, for crying out loud. I mean, why do...
If it's good, I don't care. The trailer looked pretty cool. I
haven't seen it.
Yeah. I felt Die Hard 2 was terrible.
Yeah, that was the weakest.
The third
of the
one,
three.
I think, felt a little too different.
It's blowing up in midair.
It does.
But I think Die Hard is in top three action movies of all time. For me, it's the best action movie
Die
ever
Hard
made.
2 is the first use of a digital map painting. We gotta give it props for that.
And let's go through this.
Born
Ultimatum. People love the Bourne movies. I've never seen them, so
I'm looking most forward to.
What about you, Jared? What are you looking forward to?
Did you see the newest Bond movie?
No, I still haven't.
Okay,
because I do want
to
see.
People compared it to the Bourne series in terms of action. You should see them. I think that you'd probably like them. They're relatively like smart.
I think I would really kind of actually like to see.
Probably the one I'm looking forward to most would probably be Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the Bourne Ultimatum looks cool because I really like the first two Bourne films. They're very different from each other.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. They're not... Two isn't a rehash of one at all.
Smart spy action. That's good stuff.
They've made me want to read the books. I never have, but they made me want to read them.
But the books are...
Way different.
Very different from the movies. And I haven't read them. I just know that. You know, I know a lot of things.
I'm looking forward...
I like to interrupt Shane.
I'm looking forward to the usual suspects like Spider-Man and Pirates, but the movie that... I'm
usual suspects.
Or not usual... Like, you know what I mean.
Ocean 13?
The movie that kind of has my curiosity peaked just because I thought the first one... At least for half the movie was really terrific. Was 28 Weeks Later.
Really?
Yeah, I
don't get it. I don't like zombie movies. I guess so. Maybe that's,
see, I like zombie.
But it's
movies.
Not zombie movies, according to Earl.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it a zombie movie either. But
I got to see that one again just to remind me of what it was
like. I don't dislike them because they scare me. I just don't find them to be that interesting. Mm-hmm. And okay, it's not technically a zombie movie, but you know, it's in the same strain.
Sure.
It would be I mean, inspired by it.
I was bored the whole time.
See, I thought the first half of that movie was fantastic, and once it veered off into that military BS where people acted like they probably shouldn't have been acting after only 28 days, it seemed a little strange to me. But I think this one could be better. I mean, it's got Begsby from Trainspotting.
Yeah.
I think Robert Carlyle. It's got a great cast.
Speaking of sequels, that's being they're doing a sequel to Trainspotting.
They've all signed on to it.
Yeah. Ocean's 13 could be good. I really liked Ocean's 11. That was one of my favorite movies of 2001.
I never saw Ocean's 12 though.
But 12 was terrible. Like they were all like the whole time. It was almost like they were like, "We're so cool for making this sequel." The entire movie felt like that.
And 12 was, I mean, the whole concept behind it was that they had to do another caper to pay back the money that they had stolen before and spent. So I don't know, hopefully this one just gets back to the pure kind of heist movie
that's
the
what
first
we're hoping
one
for
was. Yeah,
and you know, the cool thing about this movie is that, and actually the Oceans in general, is that these guys, they're super big stars, but they all seem to really enjoy making this, so a little bit of that joy comes out you know on screen, which is pretty cool. Next category, let's move on to chick flicks. There's a bunch of them, and I don't even know how much we'll talk about it, but I just wanted to mention them. May 2nd, we see Waitress, which stars Felicity, Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell, recently on Scrubs.
Yes, and she is, actually I didn't see that episode, but this is kind of one of her big starring features about a girl who...
Makes pies,
falls in love with the wrong guy. And
I think she's kind of gotten hot.
Yeah.
In my opinion. She was cute in Felicity, and now she's kind of a little smoking.
I like how Jared turns chick flicks into some sort of sexual conquest game.
I'm a dude. What do you want?
Also coming out soon, Lucky You, is the Drew Barrymore and Eric Bana movie.
Wasn't she one of People's 25 Most Beautiful People?
Yep, she is on the cover. This movie is about a professional gambler. It's been slated for release a number of times over the past year and a half.
They keep waiting for Hold'em Poker to peak, and it keeps going up. So they're like, let's keep waiting. Yeah. It seems like one of the dumbest concepts for a movie ever.
Speaking of great concepts, we've got License to Wed, July 4th. It stars Jim from The Office, who is about to wed Mandy Moore, but she wants to head to a marriage preparation class headed by Crazy Minister, played by Robin Williams.
Mandy Moore can be cute.
Yeah. Mandy Moore is pretty cute.
I'm determined to talk about every female in each movie as being
attractive. What's his name? Krasinski? If Jim plays Jim, then it's, you know,
I think he will.
Kind of funny.
Will he look at the camera during this movie, Jared?
No.
That's a shame. And finally, let's cover...
No, what he should do is look at someone else who's being played in the first person.
I would like that. Ooh. And capitalizing on the Food Network phenomenon, we've got the movie No Reservations.
I thought it was going to be Barefoot Contessa, the film.
That would be very frightening. In this movie, two chefs fall in love. One played by Catherine Zeta-Jones and the other by Aaron Eckhart, I believe.
Zeta-Jones has jumped a shark.
Yeah, she totally has jumped a shark.
What?
First, yeah, she's jumped the shark
a long time ago. Catherine Zeta-Jones? Like, what?
She's hopped the pony.
She's galloped over the pony.
When was Catherine Zeta-Jones unjumped of the shark?
Well, I tell you, back in the day.
Zorro?
She's hot.
Yes, she was hot as Zorro. That was about it.
Okay, so next category.
She always seemed 10 years older than what she claimed.
Yeah, totally.
It's a complete lie. And now she's with a 90-year-old, so it all works out. Make Me Laugh. These are comedies coming out this summer. There's a lot of them. Number one. Adam's struggling with basic mic technique. It's the movie Knocked Up.
Oh, yes.
I was talking to Jared about it. It stars Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Written by the 40-year-old virgin guys about a creepy sort of loser who gets a girl pregnant.
With Katherine Heigl.
Hilarity ensues.
I've always liked Seth Rogen, so I hope for the best.
I think this movie could be a sleeper hit of the summer.
It could be awful.
And it's got a bunch of...
Definitely going to be one of those, because no one's going to really go see it in droves at the beginning.
It's actually going to be a Seth Rogen summer, because he's written a movie called Superbad, which comes out at the end of August. It's a coming-of-age sex comedy, in the vein of American Pie, perhaps? I don't know.
No, it's smarter than that.
Smarter than that?
And I think it's got, what's his name?
Yeah, there's some famous people in there.
Jason Segel. He's almost always in.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
From the undeclared Freaks and Geeks kids, but I'm forgetting who. No.
James Franco?
No, he's too busy with Spider-Man.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. King of Queens gets together with the... Red Hooded Sweatshirt.
Oh, I remember seeing the trailer
for
this.
Yeah, we saw the trailer about two guys that need to get medical benefits, so they pretend like they are gay. Mm.
I like that you don't call him Adam Sandler.
Well, we know who we're talking about.
I don't think everyone knows who you're talking about.
Well, thank you for clarifying it. And finally...
Yeah, because you know what? It could have been Jimmy Fallon.
It could have been, yeah. Now, he's doing Taxi 2. Finally, we've got the brother Solomon. Inept siblings get a surrogate to produce a child for a dying granddad, starring Will Arnett, Will Forte, and Kristen Wiig. Mm-hmm. So a lot of SNL people. Could be funny, or it could follow in the tradition of many terrible Saturday Night Live
or people movies. Terrible Job movies like Let's Go to Prison.
Will Arnett is so funny. I was talking to Carrie about this. You know, Alec Baldwin wants to get off 30 Rock. I was brainstorming in my head.
I don't think he really does. I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, I hope. Well, he's not getting out of it. Yeah. So.
No. NBC
but
won't let him.
I was thinking about who could they have replace him on that show, and where the show might have a chance to capture the essence or keep the essence of what it is, because let's face facts.
It's essentially Job, the character he
it
plays
is.
Anyway.
Sure. So do you think Will Arnett could come in and save that show, or do you think that
the show's doing fine, I think, right?
No, I'm just saying, let's say could he replace Alec Baldwin?
Could, sure. Would they ever do that? No.
Probably not.
I mean, he's already been on there, so they could easily write someone to take over.
But, Robin Williams, or, you know, they'd get someone that there's no point to do that if they had to.
I hope that Alex straightens out, stops calling people little girls pigs, and then makes the show great. So, let's look at the list. A light horror movie summer. There's only a couple that
I love horror movies.
Beyond Hostel 2. I've got 1408 comes out in July. It's John Cusack, who is a suicidal type of guy after his life goes to hell. finds a hotel that has a haunted room in which anyone that goes in there dies by the morning. Saw the trailer for it.
What was his last movie? Since was Identity his last movie?
I don't know.
Because
let's say it was.
I mean, it's not similar really in many ways other than it being like a horror movie and involving a motel.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I think they also said he's working on Gross Point Blank 2.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I'd be okay with that.
It'd be interesting.
The other horror movie which is sending shockwaves through the community would be the Halloween. Right. They're calling it Halloween. I believe it's more of a prequel to Halloween, but in the continuity and out of the continuity at the same time. Adam, any opinions on this?
Yeah, do we really need more shitty 80s horror movies rehashed? No, I answered it.
My opinion on this is, why is it coming out in August?
Right, why not in fucking Halloween?
Yeah.
That used to be the gimmick that worked, and it seemed to work.
There's only one movie that has transcended the seasonal dilemma.
And that is Leprechaun 4.
No.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
It would be Christmas Vacation, which was released in the summer. That's it.
The Ref also came out in February.
But, thank you, Jared. Finally, final topic for movies of the summer. I've titled it, The Verdict is Out. These are movies which could be great, could be bad, but we don't really know yet.
I like that not all of the movies fit in this category. We already know Transformers is going to be awesome, so why
even... Yeah, this is pretty much my...
From a content standpoint, it's already won.
This is my catch-all category. I've lumped The Simpsons movie into this, because Simpsons is great, everybody loves it, but people are wondering if it's...
Not everyone loves it.
And well, anyone people, who knows anything.
Well, yeah, they loved it in season 6, and all they talk about now is how great season 6 was, or
those
5.
Those are the same people that say Lost sucks.
Yeah, well, right.
Which head did season 6 come in?
I don't know. I just came up with a number.
Season
there.
6 was Homer.
The first year that they started doing heads, right?
Yep. Also, I threw the Transformers on the list. We spent too much time on that, so we won't talk about it. Also, August 3rd, Underdog, the movie. I think The Verdict is in, it's going to be terrible.
That's my birthday, and I'm going for it then.
You should take Earl with on that one, since Underdog is his favorite cartoon ever. August 17th brings us Invasion, which is the loosely remade Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake starring new James Bond and Nicole Kidman.
Didn't they remake that movie a few years ago?
They actually did a movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and it was probably 15 years ago.
Okay, sure.
Hairspray, the...
I have a question.
Please.
What happened to Lucy Liu? Like, wasn't she a big star?
Yeah.
Like, I mean... I just remember her being in, you know, a bunch of summer movies. Severs versus Echoes or whatever that one was with Antonio Banderas.
My guess is that she's probably a bitch.
X versus Sever.
That she's probably hard to work with. And I think that that comes back
to Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway, I think she kept playing kind of the bitchy character and people got tired of seeing her.
And that's that.
Maybe that's just who she is. So
now we have Bai Ling to replace her.
Exactly.
So.
There's always another Asian to take a fallen one's place. Hairspray, the adaptation of the musical.
Otherwise known as the film.
Of the adaptation of the film.
Okay. Is John Waters even producing this?
I'm sure he's involved in it somewhere.
Travolta's in it, too, isn't he?
He's probably an executive producer, would be my guess. Travolta, could this be his big comeback? You know, the formula works for black guys. Fat guy in a funny guy in a fat suit. Can it
work
for...
Who does that work for coming back?
I don't
Name
know.
One. It didn't work for Eddie Murphy. That killed him, actually. No, and it definitely didn't work for what's-his-name in Big Mama's House, too.
Martin Lawrence.
Oh, my goodness. Well, John Travolta's going to break that pattern and make it happen.
Worked for Tracy Jordan.
I've got a movie here called...
Fictional character. Yeah, excellent.
Fat bitch. bitch dog or whatever. Stardust, which is the adaptation of a Neil Gaiman, who is a famous comic book writer, one of his graphic novels.
Of the same name?
Of the same name, Stardust. Oh, okay. Yeah, the graphic novel's a little bit hard to follow, but it's a very fantasy Princess Bride type of thing, starring Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Unfortunately, people are going to go seeing that hoping for the old WWF character, Stardust.
Yeah, probably.
Played by Dusty Rhodes' son, Dustin Rhodes.
Nice.
It wouldn't be a scope if there wasn't at least one WWF reference. And finally, the Pixar movie Ratatouille.
When does Iron Man next summer? Iron Man must be
Iron
next
Man is
summer.
Next summer. Okay. And that movie is brought to us by, is it Brad Bird? I believe the guy behind Iron Giant and Incredibles.
Sure.
I think that he is the director of this one.
Could be interesting.
I think it could be a great movie, but, you know, people didn't like Cars as much, didn't win the Oscar.
It did.
Will that matter?
Yeah, people will go see it, especially if there's no other, you know, they seem to do a good job in scheduling their releases when there's no other kids' movies around, so I'm sure they'll do fine.
Pixar rarely disappoints. I mean, even when the movies aren't their perfect movie, they're still very good.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, does every Pixar film have to be a home run?
Well, when they only...
Does it have to win the Oscar? Does it have to make a ton of money?
I guess if they're doing one every 2 years now, I don't know. It's like you can't, you know, it's like what other major studio only puts out one movie every 2 years?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, luckily they're back under the Disney fold completely, and they have other things to lean on.
Luckily, for who?
I don't know. Okay. For no one. It'll probably ruin every single Pixar movie.
Well, as long as I have autonomy in it. You know, there's a little bit more financial backing there, which is nice, I guess.
Absolutely. One last question before we move on to television. Yikes. Which movie will make the most money this summer? I'll start with Jared.
Thanks for throwing that out at me. I'm going with Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Adam?
I guess Spider-Man, just because... I mean, I haven't liked the first two.
I like the conviction.
Well... I don't know. You're asking me to guess.
You're an expert. I mean, this is an expert roundtable.
Yeah, I'd like this. I'd need to like the release calendar to see. But I mean,
Hostile 2.
You go with a known quantity, and it's, you know, the one that has been doing the best the last two summers they've been out. So I'll go with that again.
As they say, a bird in hand is worth three in the bush.
My heart tells me Underdog, but my brain tells me Spider-Man 3.
Going against convention is me.
You always do that, Jared. But you know, you can't win if you don't go big.
So, wait, when have those movies been coming out usually?
Spider-Man?
No, the Pirates movies. Like, what time of the year have they
been? I thought they were July
out?
Last year. Last was it? One was, I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And this one's August? No.
Memorial
this
Day
This one would be May 25th. I don't, yeah. We can research that, but I thought it was July last year.
Okay.
And I think well,
that, also, I believe that's also the 30th anniversary of the release of Star Wars.
It is, big times.
Yes.
So I suppose, Adam, you want to find out what's happening in TV this summer.
Do tell.
He really doesn't. You know, I'm
He's
not going to get
a great face for radio.
I really just covered the new reality television because there's not a lot of new scripted programming coming out, and
no, just burn off episodes of shows that are canceled.
Well, burn off Drive and some other things that didn't make it past two episodes or three episodes. So I'll just cover the four that I've got listed here. Number one, National Bingo Night. We've been seeing commercials for it. Sorry, a little spit there.
I saw my first commercial for it last night.
Giant bingo balls and starring the bald British guy from Extreme Home Makeover.
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch it at least once.
Just the idea of bingo on television.
Yeah.
Another one coming out, which is could be quite good, brought to us from the folks that do Survivor. It's on the lot. It's Steven Spielberg's a Project Greenlight type of reality show.
I watched Project Greenlight for the first two seasons and hated it then. I like that show a lot.
Okay. But on the lot, I think it'll be a little different.
All those people are so fucking pretentious. I couldn't stand it.
They announced the judging panel for On the Lot, and some people include Gary Marshall and Princess Leia will be on there as well. I'm hoping a Jawa will appear later on. Burnett's also bringing us the television show Pirate Master for no particular reason.
Not too much.
It's pretty much
Pirate Master.
It is. Wow. It is a reality show.
He
that
also
is,
brought us that superhero show last year, I think. Right?
I don't know if he produced
that.
Okay, no.
I thought it was.
But this is kind of like Survivor meets Pirates of the Caribbean, where they put people into all sorts of pirate-like situations, and then I'm sure at the end someone has to walk the plank.
Isn't there a second season of that Who Wants to Be a Superhero coming?
Yeah,
there is.
I mean, sci-fi. They did casting for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds great. And finally, I don't even know what this is about, but I think I have to watch it just because it stars our good friend Mr. O'Neill. It's called Shaq's Big Fat Challenge. So I think Shaquille O'Neal might put the average person into strange situations. Or maybe it's just Shaq.
Like being on a TV show as Shaq?
Yeah, or maybe it's just Shaq. His challenge is to catch as many child predators on the internet as possible.
I hope he hosts it because every episode will go like this. You can't understand a word that guy says.
Mr. Mumble Mouth.
Mumble Share.
Do you think Elvis might be in Shaq's body?
Hey, do you know if another season of the 4400 is coming?
4400 is coming.
That's not on the list, don't you?
No, I just did reality television. 4400 is coming.
How am I supposed to know what to watch?
4400 is coming back in June. Yes. Something is beeping down here. I don't know what it is. Maybe my phone. Also,
probably, because mine's on vibrate.
Big Brother's coming back in July without the all-star cast. So we'll have to see. I'm sure there'll be plenty of episodes of Let's Make a Deal or whatever it is.
Comedy Central always has a couple shows, and MTV has their Road Rules Real World Challenge that started a few weeks ago, and that carries on through the whole summer. So
there might be one gem that comes out of summertime, but usually it's a good chance to catch up on movies you haven't seen.
For me, I kick up my Netflix subscription, so I start getting more discs, and I catch up on the movies I didn't see.
Great.
Maybe I'll do some reviews for the Scope website.
Absolutely. And you know what? Another thing you can do is listen to new music. And there's a lot of artists releasing a lot of big releases, I guess, this summer.
Bring it.
Let's go. I'm going to do this by month because it's easy.
Yep.
At first, I wanted to point out that Coachella was this weekend.
Big, That's big the, event.
Yeah. And my friend Nick got to go to it.
Was that the big Rage Against the Machine reunion?
Yeah, yeah.
Nick who? Do I know him?
Fury? No, Agent of
Shield. He's not at work.
Okay.
And, yeah, that was just another thing that Hulk does that is surprising. Is that what you were thinking?
Sorry, guys. Total inside joke there.
And I was looking at the lineup because I was jealous of him because I went to a Ted Leo concert with him before he left. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at like the schedule, you know, of when they all were. And it was like, you know, because there's five stages, but it was actually scheduled in such a way that
it's gigantic.
There were almost no full conflicts. Like I'd be able to see like 75% of each set that I wanted to. And I think it was like something like 26 bands total over 3 days that I would have loved to have seen.
Holy cow.
You know, we could probably do a whole show on our concert experiences, but Adam, do you feel like you're too old to do that kind of thing at this point? Because I feel
go to those things?
Like the big super concerts where they're 2 day events and you're out in the dirt and the muck and
no, okay. I mean they usually set up campgrounds. I mean, it's not like Lollapalooza, you know, whatever 5 years ago where it was, you know, Rape Fest 2002.
And I think that's where we'd all want to be, Rape Fest.
I'm just hoping that Perry Farrell
you won't hear that at night because there'll be too much raping.
starts a Lollapalooza up again to get a good, you know, mix of people touring again.
Nice. Well, you know, some of the bands on my music list probably played a Lollapalooza or two. Mm-hmm. Lollapalooza. I'm going to say that like I'm British. So May brings us new albums, and keep in mind that the release dates of all music discs, CDs, if you will, are very fluid, so who knows if they'll actually be out. But let's pretend.
No doubt they'll be on the internet weeks ahead
exactly.
of time.
Let's pretend that May will bring us...
The September ones already are out.
Wilco is coming. Tori Amos. Dinosaur Jr.
Ooh, I'm excited for that one.
Bjork. Maroon 5. Linkin Park. The Cure. And Hot Hot Heat. Any albums?
I like that The Cure's Going Away CD, whatever it was after Galore, they're the best of with a few extra hits on it, was not their last CD.
Of course not. You know, they kind of get, they have a little bit of resurgence. You know, a lot of bands talk about how great they are, and bam, they got another album.
Oh. I'd say Dinosaur Jr., I think I'm looking forward to most. I mean, because it's the original lineup.
Yep, that would be it for me, too.
I think the
they're playing Coachella, or they did play Coachella.
Either the Tori Amos album was coming out soon, or is out, and it's getting pretty crappy reviews. The Bjork album getting decent reviews. Maroon 5 has their new single on the radio right now, and it's quite a bit different than what they have. It's very Prince and Jamiroquai inspired. So, you know, who knows? That
whatever. Why are we talking about them and not the awesomeness that is Linkin Park?
Yes. And
I do want to check out the new Maroon 5, although I'm a bit jaded because I'm a fan of the song. I Want to Kill the Maroon 5 Guy with Fire.
Very nice.
So maybe that affects my view. And now Fred has visited my lap instead of yours.
June brings us a number of artists, including Queens of the Stone Age, Marilyn Manson, Rooney, Bon Jovi, The White Stripes, Ryan Adams, Mandy Moore doing movies and music, Bob Mould, The Polyphonic Spree, and Sir Paul McCartney. Adam, your opinion on any of these bands?
Queens of Stone Age are always very hit and miss for me, but when they're on, I really like them a lot. So mm-hmm, I always like that. And The White Stripes, like, I think it depends on my mood more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I think overall, the two albums, I've liked, you know.
Sometimes they totally kick ass, but it's definitely a mood thing, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. And I want to see what Jack White's new facial hair looks like.
Absolutely.
So.
Jared, any of these albums catch your attention?
I'm excited for the White Stripes, although sometimes I think they maybe just do too much music.
Mm-hmm,
But I really like the Raconteurs. I know it's different, but I don't know. I kind of like that whole old studio analog kind of dirty sound that they managed
back
to get.
Back to basics. We're going to kick ass with just
it's
stripped
not,
down.
There's no overproduction, which is it's kind of refreshing.
Absolutely. You know,
I call them the Anti-Strokes.
The very nice.
Wow.
A band here that I'm curious to hear what they do with their sophomore album will be Rooney.
Sure. Why?
Because I actually kind of like their first. I liked a few tracks on their first album, and the single they've released from this album that's on their MySpace page, pretty good. So.
I hate you.
I don't care. I have the list, and you don't. July brings us one release that anyone cares about, and I know Adam was probably going to get at least three copies.
Transformer soundtrack.
Yes, that. And then the very next day, the... let's say 10th release from Silverchair, the Australian super band comes out.
Really? Still?
They are still out.
Holy cow.
That 90s, late 90s group that was supposed to usher in a new era of alternative music, and what happened?
I never bought one album from them. Fred is just visiting every life.
I don't remember them ever being thought of as like the next coming of a great band.
That's it? That's the only thing in July?
That's what you told me. July is a pretty weak month. You know, there's a lot of albums that are there's a lot of albums that are scheduled for summer, but they don't have a date locked in. So there could be more.
What do you got? Anything? Throw them out there.
No, I don't have anything. Let's go right
to prepare.
I'll go to August, and then after August, I'll just do general summer releases.
Okay.
August brings us a new album from The Go Team and VHS or Beta. Go Team is a band that had an album probably about 2 years ago, which I got into after reading just a little blurb about them, and now I'm hearing a lot of their music being played in commercials. Now,
I think it was
later.
A blurb from me.
Was it from you?
Yeah.
Are you sure you told me about The Go Team?
Yes, because I am fascinated with them because every song sounds like it's from the best part of a 70s or 80s movie, like during a car chase or during the end credits or opening credits. They all just kind of sound like... you know, they fit into perfect spots in movies.
And you can't understand the lyrics intentionally. Right. It's like garbage. You can sing, make your own song about them.
Really? I'm totally unfamiliar with them. Well, it sounds curious.
Yeah, I like a lot of their stuff. It's very bright, and there's definitely a poppiness to it that's lacking in a lot of bands out there. So there you go. VHS or Beta, okay band, but not...
Yeah, I like some of their stuff a lot. Incredibly pretentious name, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell, like, they sat around for hours, like, you know, what can we possibly come up with that just sounds, you know...
VHS or Beta sounds like a band name that you would think about having.
Exactly. That's kind of why I'm annoyed, actually.
That was on your list of band names. And let's go to Summer. These are albums that are bands or artists that do not have a release date for the album, but probably will fall into one of these months. Kelly Clarkson, who kind of premiered her new look on the American Idol Gives Back. She was actually pretty good on there. Ash, I think a Scottish band that sounds like they're from California.
They got
another album coming. Beastie Boys have a release scheduled for the summer.
Awesome.
Jimmy Eat World, who had a great first album, but their second album sucked it up really bad and kind of pushed them off of the...
Do they wear eyeliner?
Jimmy Eat World?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're kind of like... they all look like the lead singer to The Killers. You know, I mean, they look like normal frat boys, but, you know, they have a different sound to them. And finally, Portishead, another early 90s dark... Depeche Mode type of, I don't even know. Not even Depeche Mode.
Perfect summer release.
Perfect summer.
They're kind of considered a lot trance.
Yeah. Which, you know, always good reviews on their albums, but you definitely have to like that kind
now,
of music.
Now, I thought Cake had an album coming out in the summer, but I guess it's pushed back to fall or something.
And you know what? I just heard a new Cake song on the radio today, so they may have a new album coming out.
I was listening to them yesterday, and I've decided that Cake is probably the quintessential summer music because, like, I don't like it any other time of the year, but you listen to it in the spring and the summer, it's like it fits really well. So it's just an odd seasonal affective disorder that applies only to Cake.
I have a great Cake story, but I'm not going to tell it because that will go into one of my newest show ideas, which will be us discussing our concert experiences.
And now Fox will steal that.
Of course. Coming up next week on Fox. Have you been to this concert? Yikes. Okay, so that's all I have.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it for music.
We can't invent new forms of entertainment to discuss.
There's video games.
Yeah, well,
video games, no comics, no books.
Video games are kind of light in summer usually.
Yeah, they're usually
like the World of Poetry.
Things don't get started on video games until August usually, when both the new Madden 2008 hits and I believe the triumphant return of the 2K series of football called All-Star Football, which does not have an NFL license, but does have about 200 classic players. So
here's the thing.
The battle comes back.
The gaming companies have the false impression that children go outside and play during the summer. Not true.
I think that it would be smart for some of these companies.
They're all the multiplex.
Yeah. I have heard rumors that Halo 3 will hit in August.
Well, the beta started, right? The beta started.
Did it? I think the beta is only for like 18 days. It's really short.
Right, that's what made me think the game would be coming out sooner than August. Like, if the beta is such a short time, shouldn't the game be coming out somewhat soon after the beta?
It's a precarious line because they want to get it close to the fall season to tie into Christmas, so they don't want to blow the load there. So,
sure.
So who knows? But my hunch is that it will come out later rather than sooner. And the only other big game that I can think of off the top of my head would be the Grand Theft Auto series, but I don't think that's hitting until October, so... When we do our fall preview, we'll talk about Grand Theft Auto.
Right. I know that there's a bunch of Wii games coming out in the fall, like Super Smash Brothers and Mario Galaxy.
We'll probably see the new Mario Party for the Wii as well, but I don't know if that's announcement worthy, even though I just did. So, everybody, if you want to send in your picks for some of your favorite things coming out this summer, what you're looking forward to, make sure to email us at comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail, preferably drunk, 206-350-7056.
There's DVDs, too. We missed those.
Jeez Louise, man.
I mean, the Long Way at Best of Gary Shandling DVD came out last week.
Well, we do cover DVDs every week on Under the Scope, Adam.
All right.
I think what he's saying is you made an incomplete effort.
Wow. Jared, why don't you push some buttons and get me out of this hell that is the Scope Summer Preview?
Sure.
Please.
All right.
Thank you.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day.
He's here now to perform his biggest hits. Chris Brown!
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shoutout of the Day. You go, girl. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
From the PodSafe Music Network. It's a band I've played before, but I'm going to play them again because I had a new song up there. This is the Fire Apes with Let Me Know.
Because I want you to see the
Broadcasting from high atop the IDS, it's The Scope.
Under the Scope. Yes, indeed, it's Under the Scope, the time when we take a look at all the pop culture news, reviews, and things that are coming soon.
I like your smooth radio
Thank
voice.
You. I'm bringing it in a different style today.
Welcome to New Jazz 102.
Adam?
Yeah?
Not playing along. Take us into the news, won't you? In typical Adam style, you've got a stack of papers a mile high. So start reading.
I don't like it when you talk that way to me. You hinted at it earlier. Fox has canceled Drive, their heavily promoted TV show that lasted two episodes. I'm pretty sure that Nathan, what's his name? The guy that played Malcolm Reynolds.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion should just stop doing projects with. You know what's funny? It was him and one of the lead writers from Firefly.
Yeah, Tim Minear.
Yeah, Tim Minear. They should both just stop doing stuff for Fox. Like, seriously.
Who launches a show in April, first of all?
Well, yeah. Like, no, just start pitching your shows to Sci-Fi and they'll last yeah. for 4 years.
Or USA
or
TNT, anything.
I don't get it.
TBS.
At first, comedy. Fox said that they would show the final two episodes, so you get to watch four. It's like not even a single arc, probably, on the show.
Is the pitch on that show like Cannonball Run meets Lost? Is that the pitch of the show?
It's actually very much like The Amazing Race, honestly. It's like Cannonball Run meets Lost.
But there's
the Amazing
a mystery.
Race. Yeah. But there's like checkpoints.
A black cloud following everyone?
No, but there's like checkpoints and penalties.
There's a metaphorical
for
black
up
cloud.
Last. Anyway, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, everything I
Did
heard said it wasn't
Adam?
Terrible. No, I TiVo'd both episodes, and then it was canceled.
There's actually been four.
And then you deleted it. We
four
did that
hours
too.
Were on, and then so there's two more. So that's gonna be a total of 6 hours.
Yeah,
that's true.
Might be offered in iTunes or some other. The whole
well,
whatever's left.
At
right?
first, Fox said that they would show the unaired stuff in May on consecutive Fridays, and now they are saying. Date in the summer to be determined later. So
3 a.m. right after the
good luck
infomercial
finding
on the Magic Bullet food chopper.
I'll just keep my season pass. And...
I don't know if you guys watch Robot Chicken. Seth Green and
I
have watched it.
What's the guy from Family Guy? McFarlane. What's his name?
Seth MacFarlane. A lot of Seths.
Yes. And Adam Senrick. Matthew Senrick. They are working with Lucasfilm to do a 30-minute long Star Wars spoof episode as their season premiere. The show is usually 15 minutes, but they're doing a 30-minute special. If you've never watched the show before, they use stop motion. Animation to kind of, and they make fun of pop culture stuff, but not just pop. Like
it's a lot of what we do. They make fun of a lot of sort of pop culture
but
that crosses
visually,
over into the nerdy side.
Yeah, like they had an episode, like a clip. It's usually like I don't know, 30 minute long, not even minute long. So I guess 15 minute long clips maybe. Mm-hmm. And like they did one the last season before with like whatever happened to the Thundercats,
Right.
Sure, so they have like the action figures,
Breakdancing Voltron.
Yeah,
I like the show, but it tends to have a bit too much rape humor.
That's good.
I don't know.
Oh,
not for me. It's not.
Whoops.
The show has a bit too much rape humor, honestly.
It does. This is a really frightening episode.
They're going to do this. It's going to premiere June 17th on Cartoon Network. Voice work is going to include Conan O'Brien, Seth MacFarlane, Robert Smigel, Malcolm McDowell, Hulk Hogan, James Vanderbeek, Donald Faison, Breckin Meyer, and Joey Fatone.
Nice.
As well as George Lucas.
Enter the fat one.
He's going to be doing his voice as well.
Yes. So,
do you think that he has a sense of humor? Or is he just doing this for publicity? I mean, can he laugh at himself? Because everybody thinks he's so serious and, we hold Star Wars to this holy grail and I don't have a sense of humor.
I think
I'm just
he
in
probably
it for
has
money.
A certain level of sense of humor.
Maybe it was just his kid said, hey, Dad, I love this show. You should do it. And then
that's,
he says, okay,
that tends to be where a lot of his ideas come from. And it's the 30th anniversary of Star Wars.
It all ties in.
I mean, there's stamps and freaking mailboxes that look like R2-D2. So.
I will watch it, Adam.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Have you guys noticed the lack of honeybees?
Yes.
Well, yeah,
there's not at my honeybee field.
Vanishing honeybees are mystifying scientists. Apparently, billions.
Maybe they're all just magicians and they're just gone.
Billions of bees across the world have disappeared, and scientists aren't sure why. And it's kind of has the potential to ruin
life on planet Earth.
Well, an entire food chain.
Maybe they've discovered spaceflight.
They are
getting the F out of here.
The main pollinators of all of the plants and flowers in the world. So if honeybees disappear, we're in big trouble.
1/3 of the U.S. diet depends on pollination, and most of that is performed by honeybees, says Jeff Pettis of the U.S. Agricultural Research.
That's why I only eat meat.
Yeah, fuck you, vegans.
We're eating the bees. That's what we're doing.
Right.
We need meat.
Beef jerky is actually
bee jerky.
One theory, and I think it's been disproved now, but one theory at first was that it was due to radio wave and cell phone wave, cell phone radio, RF.
A lot of bee experts say that's poppycock.
Yes.
The other big theory is some sort of like micro mite that's killing them. Mm-hmm. But I think I was reading about this that something like this happened in the 60s. And it just sort of worked itself out. I mean, they were gone, and then they just...
Like global warming? It's all cyclical?
Yeah, it's completely part of the natural process of life.
Here's my question about
this
whole thing.
Please, go ahead.
How come you two seem to know everything about it, but I am just hearing about it for the first time?
It hasn't been on the news, so that's probably one thing.
There's a big...
I saw it on CNN, like on a little sidebar thing. I was like, what? Honeybees?
And I'm oddly ignorant of this
and
story.
And Jared, this week in our local newspaper, there was the front page story was about this.
Oh, see, I'm all digital. I don't get the paper.
Probably on Wednesday. Well, it did...
The local one. Oh, the local one's the one that sits at my front door for about 3 days.
No,
so
I'm sorry. No,
it,
it was the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Oh, then...
The Richfield Reporter?
Richfield, the Sun Current, yes. Next story.
Yes. I don't know if you guys... Did you guys ever play StarCraft back when it... you didn't, I'm sure.
Never. How dare you?
StarCraft's actually still probably the most popular RTS being played today. In Korea, it's like a professional gaming league game.
Yeah, so they can make like 50 cents on it a week? And
I got an RSI from an RTS.
I don't know. Huh? What?
Hello.
Someone will get it.
Okay. So there's new rumors that say that StarCraft II, the sequel to it, are going to be announced May 19th at the Blizzard Worldwide Invitation, which is a giant gaming festival in South Korea.
Snicker or Heath Bar? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just trying to give us funny clips for the previously on the scope, Jared.
So
I think that bit's already jumped the shark.
Yeah, Blizzard's invited a lot of press to this, which I think they have this every year, but they don't usually invite this level of press.
But this was an invitation also that they're going to invite.
It's very strange.
Good point. So we'll see. That's kind of big news in the gaming world, though.
Will you get into that? Are you more of an orc and
I played the
elf
first one
type of situation?
I liked it. I'm not good at playing all those games online. I'm not fast enough.
Gotcha.
Plus, all your time is consumed by porn now. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. I don't have a job.
Rooney fan club.
Do you guys... I got a couple more. Jack Thompson. Do you remember Jack Thompson? He's the guy that...
Douchebaggy lawyer?
Yes. He keeps blaming, like, Doom for everything.
Because people still play Doom.
He hates Grand Theft Auto.
So he immediately... Monday? Was Monday the Virginia Tech shootings? Was it a Monday? It was a Monday, right?
It was a week ago, so yeah.
It was a Monday or a Tuesday.
I thought it was a Tuesday.
Okay, so let's go with Tuesday.
It was a Monday.
Okay.
I think it was Thursday.
Wednesday? He's on MSNBC, or no, he's on one of the 24-hour
Some
news networks.
Some stupid network that actually give him airtime.
And talking about it at 3 p.m. that day, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Sure.
No one's been identified at this point. You know,
but
no one
clearly
knows
video
anything.
Games are to blame.
Right, and he's already talking about how it's... various video games faults, GTA. He uses Doom again, which it's very annoying.
What's the shooting, the first person shooter that's on the computer that
Doom.
Everybody.
Wolfenstein?
No, it's a realistic one.
Counter-Strike.
America's
that's,
Army?
That's his one.
That's the one that he eventually goes. Well, this is like the first time I've ever heard
He's
him.
Just going down his list.
Right.
He was a big Counter-Strike fan, and he learned how to kill people with it. And
he wasn't Counter-Strike.
He didn't eat his Wheaties, damn it.
He goes down into like Centipede and Tempest. You know, Frogger made him do
so it. So I really liked it because MSNBC actually has this huge write-up kind of like just destroying him, taking a lot of his points and taking them out. And they had even interviewed one of his former roommates.
Yeah.
And they're like, what video games did he play? And he was like, he didn't play video games.
No.
You know, I never saw him play video
games. He was
games.
Crazy. He was a bit into macrame. It was really odd.
Right. And like they asked him like violent movies.
Yeah.
And I forget what his roommate's answer was, but it was like not a violent movie at all.
Yeah.
It was kind of like some comedy.
Steel Magnolias.
Some people have mental issues.
Right.
And they do dumb, terrible things. And it's a tragedy and it's horrible.
The
but
easiest
that's what
comparison
it is.
Is this. There were no video games when Hitler was around.
Yeah.
I don't think that Bundy played video games.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it doesn't make any... Like, some people are just fucked up. It's pretty simple.
That is it.
you don't need to blame everything.
The new slogan for our show.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we want to do that stupid song?
We can.
Okay. So, I guess because we were yelling about it so much. Rush Limbaugh, okay, he didn't come up with this song, mm-hmm. but he played it on his show. It's titled Barack the Magic Negro. And it's, I guess, causing some amount of controversy, but not really the level that it should.
I've never heard of any of this. So.
Considering that Don Imus was fired, and it was a huge controversy for what was essentially what was supposed to be a joke, and you know, then it
just
backfired.
A stupid, ignorant thing that you know probably wasn't even paying any attention to what he was saying.
Right.
Just when you're doing this kind of show, things flow out of the mouth, and sometimes you just don't even realize you're saying it. It wasn't planned,
right? So I don't know. We can. If we wanna...
He was clearly like fired for his body of work, not for that mm-hmm. particular event. Do you want me to play it?
Sure.
Here we go. This is Paul Shanklin as Al Sharpton about Barack Obama.
Barack the Magic Negro.
I don't even think it's good. Like, funny. So it's like.
D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that because he's not authentic like me.
Yeah.
He's
so.
A guy from the L.A.
Okay.
So there
wow.
you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Rush Limbaugh.
That's a winner.
Yeah. Still on the air. Everyone thinks that was probably hilarious. Everyone that listens to
that
his show.
That is great, isn't it? A guy talking through a megaphone.
Yeah.
A white guy doing a very racist.
Yep.
Wow.
So, are you saying that black people have a limited frequency range?
There you go.
Well, you know, draw your own conclusions.
I guess.
And that was the last news story I had. So, you know, ended on a
on an upper.
Good one.
You always know how to organize things, Adam.
Know,
that's what I like
you.
About
thank
you.
Thank you.
You know, there are two parts to...
Two
more parts to this show. We call The Scope and Under the Scope. And the second revolves around something we like to call reviews. And we were lazy this week, and we only did one review, and that happens to be for the random review. So push another button.
Get ready for the random review of the week.
Tony's
it could be appalling.
Saying,
it could be incredible,
about.
But it's always unpredictable. The random review of the week.
Adam, if you could be so kind, remind our gentle listeners what came up in the random review, Amizer, last show.
It was Desperate Housewives. And just so, in case you guys don't know, mm-hmm. and people out there don't know, it's
a some sort of show?
Primetime soap opera
ooh.
With a truly contemporary take on Happily Ever After. This hit series takes a darkly comedic look at suburbia, which was done much better in the movie Burbs, by the way, where the secret lives of housewives aren't as always as they seem.
Wasn't the edict of our reviews, the copy, never to be opinionated? Way back in the day?
I wasn't opinionated about the show. That was from ABC.
He gets all excited and just all diction goes away.
Did they mention the Burbs in this
ABC? That wasn't opinion about Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives is good, says ABC, ABC's but the Burbs got it right the first time.
They're really admitting that they're not doing well.
They're very honest.
I like
network.
Honesty in my network yeah. television.
I'm the tune in.
The series began with Mary Alice Young, played by Brenda Strong, leaving her perfect house in the loveliest of suburbs and ending it all, which means killing herself. Yep. They word it oddly on the mm-hmm. site. Now she
the Burbs worded it better.
By the way,
Hanks was much better at doing this.
You didn't know this, but she was big into video games. It's true.
That's probably why she did mm-hmm. it, yeah. Mental masturbation, as Jack Thompson calls it. Now she takes us in the lives of her family, friends, and neighbors, commenting from her elevated point of view, which again means because she's dead.
Yeah.
Well, now I understand who the hell you're talking about with that disembodied voice.
The voiceover lady. Yep. Which doesn't make any sense to me because at first when I watched the pilot, maybe the first few episodes, and I thought maybe she was telling the tale of what happened after it, like she's in heaven or
yeah.
whatever and knows. But apparently it's like as it happens, which makes no sense to me. Like why? I don't know. Her circle of girlfriends on Wisteria Lane includes Susan Mayer, played by Terry Hatcher, the divorcee and single mom who will go to extraordinary lengths for love, Lynette Scavo, played by Felicity Huffman, who struggles with balancing the complications of work and family issues, Brie Vandekamp, of the Vandekamp Fish People, played
clearly.
By Marcia Cross, Martha
more
Stewart
of a Gortons
on...
person myself.
Played by Martha Stewart, who's kind of like a Martha Stewart on steroids, mm-hmm. And then Eva Longoria plays someone, and she's stuff. Okay.
The slut.
Yeah. And so that's it for kind of how that all worked. So in this particular episode, Edie and Carlos wake up in bed together, realizing just how
well, you haven't even mentioned who those people are. Nicolette Sheridan.
Oh, yeah, I did skip.
She's the top. She's Sheridan. The bitchy.
Right. Slut. And Carlos, who's Eva Longoria's
ex-husband?
Gabrielle's ex-husband, mm-hmm. wake up in bed together realizing just how... Did I not? I guess I didn't. I'm sorry.
wow.
Just how awful the previous night's sex was. Though they lie to each other to not hurt any feelings, Edie eventually finds out about Carlos's feelings through her son. That's the first
Mommy,
clip.
Mommy, do you have trouble going to sleep?
No. Why do you ask?
Because I heard Carlos say you were bad in bed.
Meanwhile, she's drinking a beer
what?
During the scene.
Yeah. Why do you say
in
that?
The morning.
That her son handed to
you
her.
You have nightmares.
Okay, sweetie. I need you to focus. What exactly did Carlos say and who did he say it to?
Something about Conolengus.
I went to get my soccer ball from his yard. He was on the phone talking to someone. So what does bad in bed mean?
It means that you're not good at making... your bed.
It's a good joke,
and
right
Mama
there.
Like
you know how long they can't like they wrote that one. Or they took to write that one.
What do we do with this?
They're writing
nobody
in real time. That's
the
why the pause was there.
As good as your mom.
So the writers are talking to her yep. through an earpiece. You can't see.
I apologize for you not actually hearing that clip, ladies and gentlemen. We were having too much fun riffing on it.
she said "beer me" or something at the end.
Beer me.
She says like "fill" or what's it called?
God beer me strength.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that was nice. Good false callback to not our show. Meanwhile, Gabrielle, again, Eva Longoria, can't get her way with her new mayoral candidate she likes. So she interrupts his debate by bringing her new handyman to make him jealous. Ian, the British guy that Terry Hatcher's dating, deciding that Mike...
The guy who didn't get the role of Wolverine.
deciding that Mike, who used to bang... Terry Hatcher is following him and Susan Terry Hatcher around.
He's really selling it, folks, yeah. isn't he?
For all you confused Scope listeners, Adam is going to be creating a flow chart that will be available on the ScopeShow.com.
It's not my fault. We did a soap opera.
That's true. It's a randomizer's fault. Damn your randomizer.
Mike even saves them from kind of, sort of, almost drowning in a lake, but not really.
Beer me.
Ask Susan to move to London. Eventually, this leads to a really low-key argument.
Just play a clip. There it
is. I had it.
Susan.
Really, I
he sounds like he's in the studio.
One more time. I've done nothing but prove my love to you for the last year, and you cannot shut up about Mike.
I don't trust the man.
Well, you don't have to trust Mike. You have to trust me, and you don't.
Again, dramatic
That's
pause.
That's what going to England's
right
about,
scene.
Isn't it? You're just trying to get me away from Mike. Well, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going. And if you ever bring up his name again, we're over. Got it? Over.
See, in a real soap opera, they break up.
Yeah.
It's not an ultimatum.
She should have shot him in the face.
Some other stuff happens, too. Tom still has a hurt back and whines a lot. Lynette wants to bang the ex-druggie she hired to manage their restaurant, and their kids are really
played
loud.
Played by Iron Eagle.
Jason Gedrick.
Nice.
Thank you. I made that joke 8 times when we watched the show, Jared.
That's fun, though.
That's about it. You can catch Desperate Housewives Sunday nights on ABC.
What'd you think of it, Adam?
It's so boring.
I agree.
Like, again, we talked about it before the show. If I knew the characters, I'm sure maybe I'd have more invested in it. This kind of happened, I think, when we did Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
This
is better than Grey's Anatomy, though.
I don't think this is better than Grey's Anatomy. I know all the characters on Grey's Anatomy, though, so maybe that's why.
Grey's Anatomy is better than this.
None of these women are as good at looking as what's-her-name on Grey's Anatomy, so.
Yeah. Jared? Chime in.
The only character I even cared about was the Felicity Huffman character, because she seemed like a reasonably normal person.
Yep.
What's her name? Nicolette Sheridan is hideous.
She's like a frightening harpy.
I guess people tell me she was hot one day. Not anymore. I don't see what Maxim magazine sees in Eva Longoria.
Yeah,
and I realize all I'm doing is picking on the women of the show.
You've either been like objectifying women or just hammering them for their looks all
I'm
show
terrible.
Long. Very strange.
I apologize, ladies of the world.
Very nice.
Well, if you want to send me your pictures, I'll send you loving comments back.
Or trash them. It's totally up to you.
Having never watched the show before, it's very difficult for me to say that I could even follow what was going on.
Yeah.
There used to be some overwhelming mystery?
Yeah, I'll get to that. I'll get to that.
Yeah. And the last scene where we have the old lady who is the housekeeper of whoever. I knew exactly when they were doing the big dramatic camera move to reveal the secret.
It
at the
was
end.
Coming.
I knew what it was going to be. Yeah. So anyway, I didn't like it.
I was come from a different perspective on this. I watched the show for 2.5 seasons. So I mean, I literally just stopped watching it about 3 months ago just because I couldn't deal with it. And Adam brought up the idea of the overarching mystery. And how the show initially was brought on was you have these three or four different women who all show a different side of being a suburban housewife or, you know, neuroticness or whatever they happen to be. But at the same time, there's this overarching mystery that they're all trying to solve. So you have this weird, you know, wackiness that pretty much is the overriding issue in the show. But there's this frightening mystery that's going on at the same time, you know, murder and mayhem, which gives it a little bit different feel. And, you know, they solve the mystery in the first season. Then the second season comes and they kind of throw in this false, another mystery, like another crazy thing happens, which obviously just, it didn't feel right. And so now what they've tried to do is overcompensate for that and make things just wackier rather than realize that the reason why the show worked is because all that stuff plays together and they exhausted it in the first season. So what are you going to do?
Right.
And Jared, the reason why you like the Felicity Huffman character the most is out of all the housewives, she's always been the one that is the closest representation of how a real person would act in a real life, even though now she's in this season, she's running a pizza parlor with her husband and scared to hire drug dealers.
Which is odd because I realize the show is not intended to portray real life.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be over the top. It's supposed to be crazy. Yeah. And I guess it's kind of odd that the only character that I even cared about at all was her.
Yeah, she always, in all of her story arcs, there are always stuff that could possibly happen, you know, that might affect someone. And so she's given the most realistic acting jobs of, you know, pretty much any story arc. And
sure,
I think that, and she's a good actress and she pulls that off. The problem is, I think the show is completely off the rails. And, you know, they talk about Lost being the show that is kind of over the hill and has lost its way. I think the Desperate Housewives is the actual ABC show.
Remember 3 years ago when Desperate Housewives and Lost were like on? And
they were going to be the shows that carried ABC to victory, and now they're both, for whatever reason, not striking
your core. It's a good thing that they have Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah. And Grey's Anatomy is kind of in that same vein now. People are a little bit sour on that. But
unfortunately, Lost is still good, so
yep.
I don't know what to do with that.
So I think that people can gather how we're going to review this, but let's just make sure and give this a scope score.
The scope score is 1.25 star.
Given the way we trashed it, I think that's kind of a high score. But, I mean, I don't know.
And I didn't, if you notice,
I wasn't offended by it.
And I didn't read the scope score scale this time around. Living on the edge, I am.
Yeah, you're a trickster.
So are we going to do a random review for next show, Jared?
Yes, we are.
Let's do it. Spin that wheel.
Hopefully it's a good show.
Hopefully we can
We need something good. We're karmically due.
Anger.
Half an hour.
Ah, easy. The Amazing Race. Sunday.
Yay!
CBS, 7 p.m. Central.
Perfect.
Faux joy.
So,
watch
it's actually something we watch already. So.
Yeah, or Adam doesn't, but oh well.
Sorry, Adam.
I watched it before. I have no problem getting into it.
It works out perfectly.
That's an easy show to get into for an episode.
Absolutely. So there you go.
Here. We'll give it a 4 stars.
Done. Let's spin it again.
The scope score is 4 stars.
Tony agrees.
Tony loves it. So that's our reviews for Under the Scope. Let's find out what's coming soon. Making fairly decent time today, Adam. So tell us what's coming soon in the world of movies, DVDs, and music.
All right, let's start with music. You mentioned a few of these earlier. Mm-hmm. May 1st, Tori Amos has a new album coming out, American Doll Posse, which David Spade made the joke on before that you need to make sure you spell it right when you Google it, or else
there's big trouble. By the way, her first single on there sounds slightly country, which always signals problems.
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. All right. BRMC. Yes, as people may know them more as. Dinosaur Jr. Their
BYOB guy.
Comes out.
Listen to this, Jared. Tuesday. Dinosaur Jr. This Tuesday.
I know. We already talked about that.
It's already online through various sources. Bjork's new album comes out.
I'll be sure to download my review copy.
Did you watch her on SNL?
Yeah, strange.
Like good, strange. I've liked maybe three songs ever.
I was underwhelmed with what
I'm
she
not a Bjork
put
guy.
Up.
Okay. Some people really dig her.
And Travis has a new album coming out.
I'm looking forward
Travis,
to that.
Travis from what's
they're Scottish too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what bands did they used to be in?
I didn't know if they were
Travis.
In
okay. No, I'm thinking
of Travis is an interesting band. Al, the music critic for the Scope, often talks about them. Is they had a fantastic debut album, and then after that, just off the rails. Like, what the heck are they doing? They were right there with Coldplay, being a band that was going to be influential, and they just
had songs in movies and
just totally lost it. So I'm hoping that they can recapture a little bit of that. And
was it they just critically or they just weren't popular, or was the music actually affected?
I think their music was a major... It's like they just lost their creative spirit and spark.
I'll admit I haven't paid attention to them for many years.
Yeah, their last album, I don't think there was any more than one track that was even worth listening to. But
fair enough.
Oh, well, let's see if they can come back. What else is coming there, Adam?
That's it for music. Mm-hmm. Movie-wise, or film, as we call it, because we are pretentious.
Motion picture.
Right, the cinema. May 4th, Spider-Man 3 comes out.
Not interested.
No,
yeah, who cares?
Three bad guys.
No, we're all going to be seeing that.
I know.
Yeah. It's already in the plans are in the works.
28 weeks later, we talked about that. So mm-hmm. that comes out. I'm sorry. So May 4th was for Spider-Man 3. May 11th, 28 weeks later. What I'm really excited about that week, though, is the very necessary remake to the Pauly Shore classic In the Army Now, this time called Delta Farce.
Who stars in that?
Wow.
Larry the Cable Guy and Bill.
Internet!
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Excellent.
That'll play well in the South.
And
I wish it would play only in the South. Can we arrange that?
Let's do it.
And
like Patagonia, right, that far south.
Like, there's not people here that love that shit.
There are, just not in this room.
We're looking at you, Earl.
And the X, with Zach Braff and Amanda Peet. This was originally supposed to come out in 2006 with the name Fast Track. It's about a comedy about 30-something slacker who's forced to take a job when his pregnant wife quits hers.
Is Zach Braff really a film star?
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
And for some reason, whenever I see Amanda Peet, I only think of Saving Silverman.
And I have to tell you something about Amanda Peet. For some reason, I think she's a hottie.
I think she's a horse, a horse face.
I
think she's a horse face, but she's a hottie horse
face. Will we see her again on Studio 60? Will that show come back before the end of the
year? They've filmed an entire season, so they will play episodes of that this summer.
I don't think they'll come back,
though. We're not
going
to see it in May, though? No?
No. It won't. They won't do it during sweeps.
Right, and it's canceled, right? Or
no, it's not canceled.
Right, but you think it's going to come back?
It will probably be canceled. Right.
Well, if they're not going to play it in May, then it's got to be done.
Just one complete sidebar on this. I was
We need more than one.
I was watching TV, and they said, stay tuned for the final four episodes of Scrubs. Are they saying that Scrubs isn't coming back?
Yeah, no? I thought they announced that a while ago.
No, I thought that they signed him on for another year.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they did. I guarantee you they signed him on for another year.
Here's the thing.
He was going to be the highest paid sitcom actor.
Here's the thing with NBC. They like to build things as the final. I mean, they've been saying it's the final four or five chapters of Heroes. We know it's coming back next year, but that's how they're marketing it.
You know
what?
That really annoys me because not everyone knows that, because I've gotten into like three arguments in the last month, people claiming that it's a one-season show, and telling them no.
No.
Just, you can't pay attention to their marketing thing.
No, okay, I can tell you for sure Zach Braff signed on to do another season. It was like $15 million an episode.
Why? For a show that doesn't make any money and gets no viewers?
I know.
All right.
Because it's one of the few sitcoms they have that is actually stable. I don't know.
That's
which,
weird.
By the way, it's...
Just play reruns of Friends.
Yeah, they should. Scrubs hasn't been good this season overall, I don't think so.
I would agree. It's
okay, anyway, what else is coming?
May 1st, Alpha Dog. That's the JT movie that like no one saw, but got actually pretty decent reviews. That'd be Justin Timberlake, not Jonathan Taylor Thomas, by the way.
Are we onto DVDs now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Happily and Ever After, which I don't remember which that was.
It's animated Happily Ever After.
No, that. Oh, I remember seeing like a poster.
Very poor reviews on it.
I didn't read it right. Bad. I see. It's
well,
subtle.
I mean, it's. I think that's going to affect the purchasing.
Yeah. How will people know what to get? They'll be at Target or Best Buy or Walmart and they'll just be utterly confused.
The Hitcher. So if you want a movie where it implied a guy gets ripped in half by trucks, you can watch that. Venture Brothers season 2. Do you watch that, Jared?
I don't.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Some people love that show. I've watched half of one episode. I never really got it.
Enemy to everything that Earl, that you believe in. Earl loves that show.
Yeah.
Notes on a Scandal, which I saw and it was good. And Happy Days season 2. How many seasons of that show was there?
There was
32, I think.
I think 10.
It was longer than Gunsmoke.
Maybe that. No, Jared. No.
Oh, it wasn't. Oh.
Sit on it, Jared.
4400, the complete third season, comes out May 8th, so I assume that means that season 4 probably starts
in June. I think it's right around my birthday in June for people that are keeping score.
Big, the two-disc collection, I guess, finally comes out.
Yep.
One of my favorite movies from my childhood.
The one and only DVD release of it they've done so far has been terrible, so this should rectify that.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That good Thing You Do, apparently it's Tom Hanks week.
Exactly.
Another two-disc set.
I did not know.
Wow, Jared practically pissing his pants in anticipation.
I will be getting that. It is, as I've mentioned before, it's one of my favorite films of all
Jared
time.
Jared finally comes alive. It only took an hour and 33 minutes.
As a scope discovery.
And Voltron Collection 3.
Which actually is out there, and Jared might even have it.
I don't. I haven't made it to Southdale yet. I need to go because they keep calling the people who reserved it, and they apparently have no room
they
in the back room.
They broke the street date on it?
It was supposed to come out like 2 months ago, and then
I think we actually had that on a coming soon before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
when
is
the fourth one coming?
I think September.
Oh, okay.
That's Jared.
It. Yes.
No yeah. more.
I think we're done with Under the Scope.
Woot.
Under the Scope. Hey, Jared.
Hi, Shane.
Kick it.
I gotta wait for the music to subtly go down.
I never knew that. Here we are. Year.
The music ducks automatically, and now we get to talk about all the wonderful comments that people sent in about our first show of the new year.
That technical term.
The new scope year. I think we should actually have, like, there's a Chinese New Year, and then, like, a Jewish New Year, too, Adam. Yep. You would know best.
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, so we have a scope new year.
The scope calendar year starts
in April. So I think we'll have to open our own calendar store, because who else will sell them?
We have a battle going on here, Jared. Adam just wrote me a note that says, I'm an idiot.
Are you refuting this fact, or
what is
the battle?
That all about, you douchebag? What did I do?
I'm bored.
All right. Well, we'll get to the comments. Kind of
this is
and then we'll get you home
to.
Where you can play poker or Paper Mario, whatever you have to do. Maybe you'll have some hot sex. Who knows?
Spin a dreidel.
Nikki says, first, I wanted to say that the new website looks great.
Woo! You hear that, Adam?
I did.
New it website looks great.
I agree. And
just for the record, the design is by Shane. I did the coding. So
you guys did an excellent job.
Thanks. Thank you, Adam.
The approval is by me.
Adam updated the WordPress and did some other plugins and stuff and massaged my feet.
Sensually.
Second, I thought something was a little up when I saw the new host thing posted. I figured it was some sort of joke. Third, Shane, I am sorry for my comment. I hope I didn't offend you too much, but variety in life is a good thing. However, with my little comment about the other host being a breath of fresh air, it was good to hear the old host once again. You know, I have nothing but love for the show. Lastly, it was a good show. Such a nice look at the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Partington says, hey, the webpage looks great. I quivered all over when I saw my pick and I saw the Ask Tony feature. My God, I now have the power to shape the lives of millions! !! See my blog about why I don't like multiple exclamations.
Don't make our announcer angry, Jared.
Also, remember when he said on all fours?
Yeah.
I'm still grossed out about that.
Review the episode to find out what he's talking about.
Yes.
Aaron said, oh no, you brought back the Tom Cruise effects. These need to go. And it was not Jess, but me who brought up the overusage of the Tom Cruise. I love the Tom Cruise.
I'm pretty sure it was everyone that I talked to brought it up.
You know, I noticed something about the Tom Cruise laugh that you played today.
Yeah.
It's like he's like an echo chamber. I love it.
Yeah.
It's more evil.
Yeah, it's like it's really evil.
If you remember the interview we took it from, he was like in an airplane hangar
or
something.
That's true.
So there you go. Carrie said, extraordinary show, gentlemen. I can't figure out if I liked Earl's Wolfgang Puck or his George Lopez better. Any opinion, folks?
I liked George Lopez.
I liked the non-racist. They both were. So I don't know.
There you go. The story of the scope felt as comfy as a bedtime story. Mm-hmm. Thanks for retelling it. It did get a bit weird with Tony saying on all fours. Apparently, Carrie shares the same sentiment as you, Adam. It was kind of like the first time you heard your parents talk about sex. It's shocking and awkward to think that they do those things. Good for you, Tony.
No, they don't. They do it the times that however many kids they have. That's how many times your parents have had sex.
Precisely. I will admit that I had to email Earl to make sure that it was an April Fool's prank. It is not that Al, Earl, and John didn't do a good job. They actually did a great job. There you go, folks. However, when one expects to hear Shane's velvet voice, mm-hmm. Adam's positive outlook on life, and Jared's wit, it was a bit, different.
I can read between the lines. I know exactly what she's saying, and I'm winking to her. We're awesome, they're not.
Carrie wishes us continued success in the new year, and she can't wait to hear what comes up next.
I think Adam is so annoyed with me right now. I think he'd like to choke me.
It's a good thing we have
Why
large
are you so
table.
Much better than me? You're not.
It's that beard. He's got the beard power going.
Yeah.
And clearly a man who doesn't have a job.
I can do this again.
Bishop closes out the comments. Ahoy, lads. Love the new look. It is sexy like red leather pants on Parker Stevenson's. Congrats on your second year piece in the CZA. The coming zombie age. Or apocalypse. I forget. One of the two. If you want to write us a nonsensical comment, send it to comments@thescopeshow.com or be the first to call the voicemail line at 206-350-7056.
Please call it. And if you want to send comments about things coming this summer that you're looking forward to, please do that. We love that stuff. We'll bring it back. We'll talk about it. It will be an event to remember.
I was pretty drunk on Wednesday. I should have called
after
that concert. Next time.
Do it.
We'll it's just about getting in the habit, folks.
Yep.
Once you start,
we're depending on you to help us make the show better, people.
Like a can of Pringles.
Send comments, voicemail, do it all. Go to the website, post. Yeah.
Thanks, Shane. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jared.
You're welcome.
You know, a little segment at the end of this that we haven't done in a while would be plugs. So do any of you gentlemen have anything you want to talk about upcoming?
No,
I do.
Jared, please.
I will be traveling to Baltimore, Maryland, Memorial Day weekend and performing as Possible Oscar at BaltiCon. It's a sci-fi fantasy new media convention out there. The dates, it's May 25th through the 28th. You can go to BaltiCon.org for details. I don't know exactly when I'll be performing. I think it's on Sunday, but all of that is still in flux. I'll know more and update you on the next show.
If any of our Minnesota listeners would like to start some sort of caravan with you, where you could have like a giant train of cars going out east, would you be willing to do that?
I don't think so.
That's a 2-day drive. I would suggest not driving.
I'm pausing in Wisconsin and then go.
You're not really going too far on the first leg of the trip.
Well, to the southern tip of Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. So near,
very close to the border of Illinois.
Very nice.
And then, yeah, a long drive to
onward. Baltimore. Will you be doing any scope plugging while you're there?
I'd like to. I'm not sure. Like I said, it is a new. There's a new media section to it too: podcasting, video podcasting, web comics, all kinds of online related stuff. And they don't really have a schedule posted yet, so at the very least, I'll try to check out some of the programming and see if there's any way I can work a plug in. But if there's something that I could contribute to, a panel or something like that, I might try to get involved. So
spread the word, Jared.
There you go.
Fantastic. Well, this has been another great episode. Episode 28's in the can, people. Next show, I don't know what the content is going to be, but I can tell you there will be a Spider-Man 3 review. I'm sure we'll have something to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
That hits pretty much next weekend, so that ought to be exciting. Looking forward to that. Look forward to new articles posted at thescopeshow.com. Very, very exciting. As I mentioned, we did do Grindhouse. I'm sure there'll be some other terrific things we will mention and talk about. Feel free to comment on that stuff. So.
Also, make sure you check out the next show, because I'm sure there'll be a ton of listener voicemail comments, because everyone's going to call.
Yes, everyone will call in for that.
206-350-7056. All of those numbers can be found on the face of your phone.
Thank you, sir. So for myself, Adam, and Jared, thanks for listening to The Scope. We'll be back in just 2 short weeks. So until then, everybody, thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying good night. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.